Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
I've been stuck in motion, moving too fast.
Good morning. It's Justin Kaufman in for Steve Cochran today here on 720 WGN. But no worries. Andrea Darlis, Dave Ennett, Grzanich is here. Steve Grzanich.
Yeah.
Jen DeSalvo's in. Everyone is here. Sandberg, Joe Romano. We got the full crew. Pat Brady as well in studio for his check-in. He usually here on the Cochran Show every Thursday. Good to see you.
You too, buddy.
And then also, Eric Adelson is going to join us in a bit. In studio right now, Erica Harold. She is running for Attorney General in the Republican primary, which is coming up here on March 20th. Ms. Harold, thanks for joining us here on the Cochran Show. Appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
So I guess we start a good conversation would be like, what do you see the Attorney General's role being in 2018 and beyond? Has it changed? And, you know, tell the world why you want to be our next Attorney General.
I think that people are looking for an attorney general to exercise independent judgment, to make the office less partisan, because right now you have political figures in both parties who are able to sort of use their jobs and offices to further partisan agendas. But I think a lot of people want there to be at least one constitutional officer that is sort of above the law and has the ability to hold both sides accountable.
How do you do that? Because obviously we have seen in the last couple years now, decade plus of family relationships, and,
sure,
and not just partisan, but family relationships.
Absolutely.
With the current attorney general. But the governor has come out and said that he wants you to be the next attorney general. He wants to give money to your campaign. How do you have an independent office when the governor wants you and acts as if you're part of his establishment?
Well, the reality is that the attorney general is an independent constitutional office, and whoever wins on both sides of the aisle, they will receive the support from their party. And so we do have an attorney general that is elected in a partisan election. But once the campaign ends, it's important to actually set forth guidelines and rubrics within your own office for decision making. So I've set forth several guidelines that I would use to decide, how do you determine whether to file a lawsuit? How do you determine whether to get involved in an issue? For me, it would be, is there a constitutional or statutory issue of Illinois law at stake? Is there another entity that's better situated to act? Are all Illinoisans' interests directly impacted? And if those things are all in play, then you act. It's not about partisanship and who supported you, because both the Republican and Democratic nominees will receive support from everybody in their party.
Right.
Erica, kind of a segue to that. We talked a little bit about this last time, conflict of interest. How do you initiate? I know a lot of this will fall on lawmakers, but Democrats and Republican, and not just Mike Madigan, but most of our state lawmakers have other jobs. How would you set forth laws that make it so my law firm or their law firm doesn't get the no bid contract for, you know, the highest building in Chicago or the most expensive?
Well, when you file for office, you have to file a statement of economic interest. And I think that economic interest needs to be more detailed, because it needs to provide disclosure of more entities with which you have economic interest. So, for example, right now it says, who's your employer? I work for a law firm in Champaign-Urbana, Meyer Capel. But I think it's important, if you work for a law firm, to also detail some of the clients that you have, because the current form doesn't necessarily ask that. And those are the kind of relationships that you're trying to get into. And I'm more of a disclosure person, because I think when the public has that transparency, they can hold people accountable. But without that, then you're not able to make independent judgments.
Yeah. And the conflict of interest and ethics, of course, playing a big role. We're seeing a lot of, I don't want to say scandal, but controversy around some candidates about their conflict of interest, what they do in their side jobs, and how it affects what they do. There was no legislative inspector general.
Right.
If you're going to look at the record of the current attorney general, both parties will say not much has been done about public corruption, and that falls into ethics. For you, do you see that being the role of the attorney general, to get in and to monitor and make sure that those ethical violations are in, you know, in step, and that they're being monitored and looked at?
It's absolutely the role of the Attorney General. The Attorney General has statutory authority to investigate when certain types of evidence of misconduct occurs. But the reality is the General Assembly has not given the Attorney General as much authority and as many investigative tools as are necessary to do the job proactively. So the General Assembly should give the Attorney General the ability to convene statewide grand juries to issue subpoenas, because without that, you can only do part of the job.
We live in a very crazy time right now. I know anti-bullying was your platform in 2003 when you were Miss America, but should there be and will there be, if you're Attorney General, tougher penalties for online crimes, cyberbullying, school threats, things of that nature?
I would focus more on policies and trying to help schools and parents navigate those issues, because lawsuits tend to be the last resort when you're talking about an incident that's occurring in schools. And there's a big jurisdictional challenge of if somebody posts something at home on Facebook, who has the ability to monitor that?
Right.
And I'd like to see schools have part of their honor code, what the kind of content that somebody places on social media, because it's a little bit more difficult for schools to monitor things that happen at home. But they are able to say, part of being an ambassador for our school, if you want to participate in student council or athletics, is how you use your social media content.
Pat, let me bring in here. I love the history of this office, the Attorney General. I mean, it's been Lisa Madigan for a couple of years now, but before that, it was really a Republican go-to. I mean, think about the Attorney Generals of the past, and I think of Jim Ryan, I think of others that were, I mean, it seemed to be a foregone conclusion that the Attorney General in the state of Illinois was going to be Republican. What changed?
Well, the Madigans changed. I mean, Lisa Madigan got elected. She got elected with virtually no experience against Joe Burkett, who ran a very good,
right,
close campaign. It was a career prosecutor, now is appellate court judge. And with the help of her father and her name, she won. And when she got in, she did a good job politically. She turned the office into a consumer protection office, which is a good politically in this state. And by a lot of accounts, some people think she did a fine job. I tend to agree with others that think she left a lot on the table, including public corruption and the crime problem, which I think is a lot of reason that the people are looking for a change. But as a Republican, maybe we can get back to that now that the party's actually looking to the future with candidates like Erica that represent a change in the Republican Party. I think some youth, some Harvard-educated person with her background, and that has great ideas, great on substance. Obviously, you just heard her for the last 10 minutes, knows what she's talking about, and has it is good at saying it. So to me, I'm excited that we have a new face, and a new face that might represent a change back to
when
I grew up.
When you start looking at, and from your perch at the top of the party, but also now as a consultant, and you look at the Republican Party and the names you threw out, Burkett and Jim Ryan and the others, you have seen a shift in the sense that used to be, I mean, like I said, it was
a law and order
foregone
office.
Conclusion. Yeah. You think about it now, does Erica and candidates that are coming up now represent a new Republican Party? Is it an outgrowth of the Republican Party of the past? Where are we at when it comes to Republican politics in the state of Illinois?
Well, I hope the principles are the same, and the people that join the Republican Party have a certain core group of principles they believe in. I don't think those have changed. I think what we've seen in this election on the far extremes of the party, the Jeannie Ives candidacy, the racist, homophobic ad she put up, that doesn't represent the party that I grew up with. And some of the fringe candidates, the Policy Institute and those other folks are supporting, that to me is not the Republican Party. To me, you look at someone like Erica, a younger person, a diverse background, that to me is what the party's all about. And she's a solid conservative, and I think that the future.
All right. We'll get back to Erica and the conversation we're having here on the Steve Cochran Show. I'm Justin Kaufman, in for Steve.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
I got a new girlfriend.
Justin Kaufman in for Steve Cochran this morning with Andre Darlis, Dave Ennett, and the crew here on 720 WGN. Pat Brady in studio. Eric Edelstein is here as well. And also Erica Harold, who is a Republican running for Attorney General in the state of Illinois, coming up here on primary March 20th. Let's continue quickly before we introduce Eric, just with Ms. Harold. You know, the Office of Attorney General is taking on a different... There's much more with the Trump administration coming out of Washington on what the states have to do to protect themselves and also protect their constituents when it comes to the laws or repealing laws or changing regulations and putting it on the state. The office is changing. Do you sense that? Do you feel as a Republican and having a Republican administration that you have an advantage, or is it going to be difficult to do this job in a Trump era?
It actually doesn't change the way I think the job should operate. I believe in the principles of federalism. And so I think it's the job of the Attorney General to absolutely stand up to any federal administration if it's exceeded the scope of its constitutional power. But if it's just a policy disagreement, I don't think it's the role of the Attorney General to try to obstruct policy where there might be a disagreement, because the state has limited resources. There are real issues that you have to focus on for your state. And so if it's a policy disagreement, I think you've moved into the arena of pursuing political issues as opposed to focusing on constitutional issues.
Erica, and we know you're focused on your race as well, but are you watching it all on the Democratic side? It's such a crowded field. And I also want to know, we know mudslinging goes on everywhere, but you had an experience with a Republican in Winfield Township who used sexist and racist language toward you. Are you surprised in 2018 that we're still dealing with this on International Women's Day, I have to ask?
Yeah, right.
You know?
It was surprising to hear language that was that graphic and I think that offensive. But unfortunately, the reality of running for office as a woman of color is that you are subjected to comments that are offensive. And on some level, you almost become desensitized to them because you want to focus on the issues that you're trying to set forth and explaining to voters why you would be a great attorney general. But on some level, you do have to enter the arena a little bit desensitized. And so it's only when you're stepping back and other people are shocked that you actually take that moment and say, yeah, that was really awful.
Right.
Eric Edelstein's in studio. Eric, you know, as we were talking with Pat, he was talking for you.
Oh, God, again?
Yeah.
You wouldn't believe the candidates you endorsed.
Really?
Right.
But he did just slip me the list later. Right?
He talked about Lisa Madigan, and, you know, he disagrees with some of the candidates on the Democrat side that says she did a good job and she was a good attorney general. As we you know, continue to talk about this office, Pat mentioned it was, she's really made it a consumer protection office. Mm-hmm. How do you feel that Lisa Madigan has done in her tenure as Attorney General?
Well, I think it's right. I mean, I think there are limitations. You know, she's gotten knocked for the public corruption piece. I think there are limits to what that office can do statutorily on the public corruption. I know there's a disagreement some people have on that. I actually think she's done an okay job. I don't think in the race for Attorney General, which is going to be really high profile, obviously it's not the marquee race, but I think it's going to not be a referendum on Lisa Madigan. I think it's going to be a referendum on what Ms. Harrell just talked about, which is sort of this federalism versus state mm-hmm. in the era of Trump. And I think the challenge for the candidates, and it'll be a really interesting debate, is it policy? Is it the role of the Attorney General when you have a Justice Department that's rolling back women's rights, rolling back immigrant rights, rolling back environmental standards? The state attorney generals, including Illinois, have sort of banded together to be this force. I think that'll be a fascinating debate in the fall campaign.
But don't you think that'll be the debate if your candidate, Kwame, wins? But if it's Pat Quinn?
I think he'll do the same.
Pat Quinn, I guarantee it's going to be future versus not Quinn again.
Well,
there will be less cerebral than what you just described.
Both know people who win campaigns are the ones who determine the agenda. Right. I would say clearly on the Democratic side, our preference would be to have that national debate, and I think the Republicans, Ms.
Harrell, I was going to say Democrats
would prefer to have the past debate.
They're going to go. They're definitely going to make it about Trump. They're going to make it, I'm going to be your protector. I'm going to be the citizens of Illinois. I'll be your protector against this federal government that doesn't care about your rights. I mean, that's what they're going to put that all
there
together.
And there's an interesting thing, just not to get too far in the weeds of political strategy. But when you ask in a poll, Democrats, of course, do you want somebody who's going to stand up to Trump? Everyone says, of course. I think, and maybe I'm a lone voice, I think there's a real skepticism among voters. You say, what are you going to do? I mean, right. Even as attorney general, it's powerful this, but particularly all these candidates running for Congress and running for state rep saying, I'm going to stand up to Donald Trump.
Well, Joe Berrios is too.
Well, but I think,
and he's running for assessor.
Because right, it tests well. Because it tests well.
He stood up
to
the NRA.
It tests well in a poll,
I
right?
Know, but, you believe,
but I think voters are like, really? What's my assessor going to do against Donald Trump?
Yeah, when you see attack ads that are all about the NRA. And
I mean, no tax deals for you,
office,
big boy.
Right, exactly.
Pat Brady, Eric Edelstein in studio. studio. Erica Harold as well, who is running for Attorney General, the Republican, from the primary coming up here on March 20th. All right, we'll take a quick break here, and then we'll come back, get the news headlines, and then we'll continue our conversation here on the Steve Cochran Show, 720 WGN. Stay with us.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Justin Kaufman in for Steve Cochran this morning here in Chicago, 720 WGN, broadcasting live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on beautiful Michigan Avenue. It's brisk. It's brisk tonight. Today, it's going to get warmer, though, so never fear. Andre Darlis, Dave Ennett, Steve Grzanich, Sandberg, Jen DeSalvo, Joe Romano, everybody's here. 312-981-7200 if you want to get in the conversation. We're talking with Erica Harold. She is the running for Attorney General in the Republican primary coming up here on March 20th. We continue our conversation. Pat Brady and Eric Edelstein are here as well. You know, one thing I wanted to ask about was the role of Attorney General when it comes to budget stalemates. We've seen in the last couple of years with the legislature and the governor where the budget became... You know, you see at the national level, there's a government shutdown if the budget doesn't get agreed upon. In the state of Illinois, there were we went to the courts to pay state employees and keep it going. And it took a lot of pressure off the deadlines to essentially come to an agreement. As Attorney General, what do you think the role is of that office when it comes to monitoring what's happening between the legislature and the governor?
Because of principles of separation of powers, I think the Attorney General should try to stay out of that to the extent possible, because oftentimes you are talking about very political issues that are happening, especially if you're talking about as a budget balanced. Both sides will have an argument as to whether the budget is balanced. But I think if you see appropriations that are occurring without any sort of authorization, then it is appropriate to step in. But if I think in the case when Lisa Madigan went to court, there was a court order that was out actually allowing those state workers to be paid.
Right.
So I would not have intervened to try to get the court to remove that order.
There seems the hope would be that other constitutional offices would essentially monitor or be able to force lawmakers to do their job. At a certain point, I think, as members of...
It's too bad we can't just have a do-your-job bill that applies to everyone.
Right. Like a blanket bill.
That's right.
Exactly.
So I think that was a popular move for the Attorney General at the time to essentially try to force the different parties to come together to get this balance, or to get a balanced budget.
Well, you can do things to have the court enter orders or not, but that doesn't actually make the parties come together. And in fact, it might actually make it more difficult for the parties to come together, because you've inserted yourself into a process where you don't actually have a real judicial role. It's the role of the court to say if somebody is not doing their job or not. So there are certain circumstances where an attorney general could seek a declaratory judgment, go to court, and ask a court to enter something that requires people to do their job. But ultimately, enforcing compliance does come with the court.
The attorney general's office has always been a consumer protection office as well for scams and safe toys.
Yes.
And things of the like. But where do you see the role going with regard to public safety when it comes to crimes involving guns and loopholes and filling those?
I think that the consent decree will be an area where the Attorney General has the ability to make sure that certain issues of community policing are addressed, to make sure that there are good metrics and benchmarks. I think restoring trust between community and law enforcement is something that's very important. And that's why I think proceeding with the consent decree is something that's important. I think everyone that's running for Attorney General agrees that consent decree needs to be pursued.
That's such an interesting area, because the consent decree that was really brought down by the Department of Justice under the Obama administration has largely, at the Department of Justice under Jeff Sessions, has said, we're not interested in doing
Correct.
A consent decree. The mayor of Chicago, in a way, has said, I'm not really interested in doing a consent decree. The police department doesn't want to do a consent decree. So what role does the attorney general have if all parties interested aren't interested?
I think that the mayor and I think that the city and law enforcement is interested in reform, and people with whom I've spoken seem to want that consent decree to go forward, because it was a way forward for the stakeholders to have the kind of proper negotiations and to address a lot of critical issues. Because regardless of the fact that the Trump administration stepped away from that consent decree, there still was the Justice Department report that outlined a lot of issues that have to be addressed. And I think it would be a real mistake after everyone came to the table to say, okay, just kidding, because there are real issues of violence that need to be addressed. And this provided a great moment for people to have the proper conversations and the right metrics and benchmarks to address it.
The Chicago police FOP, they don't want the consent decree. The police officers on the street. I mean, I understand the concept of trying to find reforms. And the real issue here is that the police department in the city of Chicago said, we can handle our own reforms. We don't need the Justice Department from the federal government coming down and setting the terms of what that's going to be. So at a point, I mean, as someone who would be in the middle of that argument where maybe they all agree on reform, they just don't want to deal with the federal government getting in their business. Does it make your job tougher in the sense that you're representing the state of Illinois and the citizens of Illinois, but at the same time, those organizations that we just spoke of aren't interested?
Well, when Lisa Madigan filed the lawsuit, she announced the lawsuit at a press conference with Mayor Emanuel. And so I do believe there's reason to think that all the parties are at least committed to moving forward. And having someone who's an independent monitor who makes sure that proper progress is being made, I think that's important. And so obviously you need people to cooperate. But I have reason to believe that there's enough cooperation on both sides that it is productive and worth moving forward.
Erica Harold is in studio today here on 720 WGN, the Cochran Show. I'm Justin Kaufman in for Steve. We're talking about her candidacy for Attorney General on the Republican side, the primary coming up here. The one other issue as well, as Andre just mentioned, it is an Office of Consumer Protection. Usually that will play out in press releases about scams and phishing scams, emails, things like that. Right. But there's a lot at stake when it comes to deregulating our area, big business, big corporations who have, you know, will try to put profit over people. How do you see the role of Attorney General when it comes to regulating or at least being a representative of the people of Illinois when it comes to corporate interests?
I think consumer protection is a key role for the next Attorney General. It is an area where Lisa Madigan did a good job. I think some people think it was to the exclusion of other things, but regardless, I think she was a fierce advocate for consumer interests and does deserve credit for doing that. I think as it relates to issues going forward, identity theft, issues like that are important, making sure that you can use both your authority under state and federal law to pursue issues if there's been statutory violations. But it's also a bully pulpit issue where you have the ability to highlight different scams that people should be aware of and then give them access to resources to address things like identity theft.
I've heard so many people say, including, you know, our newsroom, that this is going to be an election, especially this year with more women voters, more independent voters, more millennial voters. And I've heard this term so often, I'm sure you have too, Justin, in the past few weeks, fiscally conservative and socially liberal. So as a Republican, can you be socially liberal as Attorney General?
I don't think that you should have any of those labels as Attorney General. Your job is to enforce the law. It is an office where you take Illinois state law and recognize that it's your job to defend the constitutionality of it if it's challenged. But you're not supposed to be bringing to that office these sorts of labels because you are representing all of the people and you are representing the laws of our state.
All right. Our last question is, as we wrap up here, and I just moderated a debate for the Democratic candidates, and at the end, I was able to ask them some quick lightning round questions, right? So I feel like it's only fair to ask Erica the same question, but it's very simple. 85 bears or 96 bulls?
85 bears.
Oh,
there you go.
I had a godfather who played on the Bears, Reeve Story. I don't believe he was on that team, but Reeve Story is my godfather. And so I always have to go with the Bears.
There you go. Erica Harold is running for...
You didn't ask your Cubs or Sox.
I didn't. No. That's too easy.
Don't do that.
Erica Harold running in the exactly. Republican primary for Attorney General for the state of Illinois. Ms. Harold, thanks for being here today.
Thanks for having me.